Revelation chapter 18. We're going to begin reading once again with the 9th verse and just a quick review to get down to the 14th verse today. But Revelation chapter 18, beginning to read with verse 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all tine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and of iron and marble and of cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors, and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in one hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. A mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harps and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. The light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. Thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorcerers were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for this precious time that you give us. I thank you for this family. We can come together and in fellowship and come out from amongst the world and the troubles and the heartaches of the world and the trials and the tribulations that are there, and we can come to a place of peace and of joy and a place that we become uplifted and strengthened because of your power and your will. And we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the study of your word through the Sunday school classes this morning. And now, dear Father, we're here. We have sung those beautiful hymns, and they just touch our hearts and prepare our hearts for your precious word. And Father, as we read in the last verses of this chapter, the music will stop. Well, the music that we hear and the music that we sing and we praise our Lord with, praise you with, is wonderful words, precious words. But the words of the world that use for music is nothing but wickedness and devil worship. And so, Father, yes, it will end. There'll be a day that it will be no longer. Guide and lead us today, Father, as we open your precious word. I just thank you, Father, for the, again, family, for the opportunity that we have. And I just ask that you'll guide and lead us and strengthen us today with your word. Those that are here that do not know you as their Savior, that they'll come, that they'll trust in the cross of Calvary, that free gift, that opportunity. And Father, those that are saved, that we be strengthened and restored from the week of being in the world, but we're here now and we're going to be re-strengthened by you through your precious word and the fellowship of each other. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We begin with this ninth verse, and just again in review, the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her. We talked about last week that these are not kings of lands as you would think them to be. They are leaders and hold the position as a king, but actually they are not only the place of a king, but also they're religious leaders. And because, you see, they are under the spell, so to speak, of this woman. And they have believed all that she has told them, and they have become very powerful and very rich in the process of following after Satan's leader, the great whore that we have here. Now, as we have talked in the past, we've had the seven heads or the seven mountains, and so it does speak of Rome. And we think of Rome and being the home of Catholicism. And they have left the Word of God many, many years ago, as many others have as well. And today, we do not have to return back to Rome to their strict teaching they have. They have accomplished it by taking away the truth. We have left the Word of God. And so anyone that leaves the truth and teaches something contrary to the truth, we find is of following this future whore here, the woman of this old New Testament text. We know that it started; its beginning was back at the Tower of Babel, and so we find that if you remember, Abraham came from Ur of Chaldees, not far away. And so all was into idol worship. And now most churches today have left the form of the words idol worship or devil worship. They have put the name of our dear Lord upon their door, and they call it a church of Jesus Christ, but they have left the word. They have left the truth. And so we need to see that we stand for the Word of God and we stand for the truth, because this time is not going to just open up during the tribulation period. It is going on right now. It will be in its fullness during the tribulation, but it's here now. And so please, please look to the Word of God. Stand upon it. Don't go for some traditions that maybe you have been taught all of your life. The weeping and crying that we look at here with these religious leaders, it says that they, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, it is in an overabundance of luxury, a point of total arrogance that these kings and their followers lived. They saw the fall of this religious, there are two Babylons, the religious side and the commerce side or commercial side. So we speak of the two Babylons. Here we're talking about the religious side. This is the woman that wanted the ability to lead and folks to follow her and her teaching. The beast, the head of the commercial side, wants to be God. She just wants folks to follow her and her wicked ways. he wants to be God. So keep those two. Both are listed as Babylon. One's religious Babylon, one's commerce or commercial Babylon. So here we have the kings of the earth. This is all talking about the religious Babylon and its fall, its destruction, teaching false doctrine. And as we look here, the kings of the earth who have committed fornication, lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. And when this is destroyed, and the headquarters will be in Rome, and when that is destroyed, everything falls, everything. This time and the sadness of it, because we have the kings and they're lamenting. And we also then find the second group here that's the merchants. We have the kings and the merchants. Now the merchants here have great sorrow in verse 11. The merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth the merchandise anymore. Great sorrow. Not because they loved her, loved what she taught. Now the kings, the religious leaders, did. They were focused in on her sorcery and on her witchcraft and all of her teaching. They bought into it. And you can see it today. I mean, so many people are willing to believe a lie and stand to their death with that lie versus going to the Word of God, simple truths, and stand upon it. They would rather follow a lie. And so we have it very evident today. And at this time, during the 7-year tribulation, the end of the 7-year tribulation, these religious leaders, they will be weeping and crying over her death. Their leader is gone. But the merchants, on the other hand, they didn't care about her, except for how wealthy they made them. She made them wealthy. And they loved the things of the world. All the things of the world. Now, I want you to notice, and I'm not going to read through it again, but we will do the summary of it here in just a moment. I want you to notice from verse 12 through the 13th verse, the things that are listed there. I want you to see what's listed there. And so while you're kind of looking at that, understand that, again, the kings, the religious leaders, felt the loss and were just heartbroken over their devil leader in the woman in sorcery and witchcraft. As they left, they were heartbroken over her death and her destruction. The merchants, on the other hand, they were not caring about her, but they did care about the losses they were seeing. This division of articles here is broken down into seven. Many times God uses in His Word the number seven. It's complete perfection. And so in the 12th and 13th verse, we have the first one. It's gold, silver, diamonds, rubies, pearls, all precious stones. Number two is costly clothing. Number three is costly furniture. Number four is costly ointments of all kind. Number five, it starts with wine, and it's just the luxuries, just extra luxuries. And verse six is horses and chariots. And verse seven is the souls of men. Now, I want you to, the reason I want you to kind of look at that list, verse 13 and 14, is because we just read this and ended last week. How would you place those seven categories in your life? How would you place those seven categories? Would gold and silver be first? How about costly gold? Would that be number one with your... how about costly ointments of all kind? How about you could take the horses and chariots and put in cars and trucks in there to help you understand what that might mean. Where do we list there? I want you to go home this afternoon, and I want you to honestly list that. I want you to look at that list. Now, obviously, the soul of a man would be first in our list. Or maybe that's not so obvious. Because maybe we care about gold and silver and clothes and furniture and ointments and cars and luxurious living more than we ever give thought to a soul. Can you see how that this great whore, this woman of this time, how that her doctrine has already come into us and into our church? It's already here. It's not something that's just going to be opened up and exposed during this 7-year period. Do that, if you would. 1 through 7. You can divide it very easily through your scripture there. The first would be gold. And then as you come down, we find silk would be fine linen would be number 2. And then the group after that. And then we find the tine wood, so furniture, ivory, all that stays with that, brass, iron, marble, and then you come to the cinnamon, the odors and ointments and frankincense. Then 5th is the wine, and then the 6th is the horses and chariots, and in number 7, of importance to the kings and to the merchants, to any, basically all that lived during that day, the only thing they cared about, the bottom of the list, was souls. The bottom of the list is souls. And I think that would not be an uncommon of today. I think that you would go out and you would ask folks and give them that list and have them write down which is most important to them. I think to most folks, the souls of men would be the last. Would be the last. Well, if it's so unimportant, let's go on and take a look at what happens to these almighty important things. Verse 14, "And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. All things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all." This self-indulgence, this high-minded, this haughtiness, this prideful nature that the world has today, the I, me, my disease is going to kill everybody. It's going to, the I, me, my disease destroys the soul. Because the I, me, my disease puts the souls of men at the end. I, me, my. It's all about me. That's the world today. That's the world today. This church, this is the church. The merchants that trade with the church, the religious leaders that lead the different groups for Rome. They're so caught up in making money and buying and getting and having that the thought of the souls of men is very unimportant. What we have just read is what she loved and all that followed her. The fruits that thy soul lusts after. What should direct a believer? The fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God should lead us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That is the best medicine that you can have to heal the I, me, my disease. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and tenderness. That's all right. We got the tape. Sometimes the devil wins. Sometimes he don't. Self-indulgence, pride. She has been cut down. Her fruit. When we are led by our God, by the Holy Spirit, and we possess the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. When we have that, I ask you, wouldn't you like to know somebody like that? Yeah, I'd like to have a friend like that. Oh, so would that friend. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's what we're to be. That's who we're to be. Everything she had was wrapped up into the things of the earth. Everything that we would do with that leadership of love, joy, peace, we can enjoy laying up treasures in heaven. Much more precious than anything in this list. Much more precious. She is cut down. Everything that was important to her is gone. What do you think of when you think of something that's dainty? Oh, something that's small and really precious to you. Something that's dainty, something little. It actually means that it's something that's big and fat. Look at the... You get surprised sometimes when you look these words to find what their meaning is. It's shiny, it's big, it's gaudy, and even the definition there was fat. Goodly is bright and shiny. And so, the fruit of thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee. All things which were important to thee, these dainty, goodly things are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for fear of her torment and weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour, so great riches is come to naught. Look at verse 18, the end of it, and we're going to come back to the rest of them. What city is likened to this great city? What city was like to this great city? All the merchants, all the kings, or these religious leaders, there was nothing greater than Rome. They made all their wealth from Rome. Everything was so important to them. But it was all gone. You notice here that the merchants cried and wailed just like the kings or the religious leaders. But there is one difference. The kings lamented for their leader. And they said, in one hour is thy judgment come. But the merchants, on the other hand, in one hour, so great a riches will come to naught. They didn't care about her. They didn't care about the religious activities that was going on. They cared nothing about that. In an hour, everything that we have and possess is going to be gone. That's why they were weeping and crying. You can sure see where they stand on that list, don't you? Merchants are only thinking of gain. That's where their pleasure was, their enjoyment was. But the religious system that made him so much money that great whore, Rome, will be seen no more. I want to take you back to just a couple of verses of Scripture back in Matthew, and please, if you would, turn back here, because I think after all that we're talking about here, you need to see some words that Jesus has spoken. And that's Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. These verses kind of say it all. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where was the heart of man during this time? Where is the heart of man today? I'll read verse 16 and 17, and we'll find where the heart of man of the day here in Revelation is. Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen. You see what they liked, purple, scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great a riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster, all the company in ships and sailors, as many as trade by sea, stood afar off. And then verse 18, and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like this great city? And they literally lost their mind at this time, these merchants, and because they had lost everything. They lost their God. Their God was their money. They lost it. And in verse 19, they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made riches all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. We find that sitting in sackcloth and ashes, we find with dust and putting dust on your head is a humiliating thing. It's you see it in the form of repentance. And they aren't repenting. They're going crazy. They have lost everything that was important to them. Because you see, they didn't know God. They didn't want God. They didn't want their sins forgiven. And judgment is coming. They placed all of their thinking, all of their life in one thing, and that was their money and their possessions. And now it's gone. Now it's gone. We can look at ourselves in relationship to the grave. We can store up all the riches and have all the things of this life, but that grave will divide you from those. And whatever you do with Jesus here, if you trust in Him, you're in for the greatest time ever. But if you reject Him, you haven't seen anything. You thought that you had had the world, everything was yours. Not so. It's all been taken away. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged her. Can you please see this? Rejoice over her, thou heavens. The earth is crying and wailing and throwing dust on their heads, and they're literally going crazy. They've lost their minds. What's heaven doing? Rejoicing. Praising God. And God tells them to rejoice. Now, what could be so joyful and exciting about watching such destruction? It's because, my friend, they're evil. And those enemies of righteousness are being put down, finally, completely put down. And it should bring rejoicing in heaven. rejoicing. All heaven unites in victory and triumph. All heaven. Everything is here. Those, thou heaven, holy apostles, prophets, everyone, whether they're Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, prophets, all are saved, all the angels, everybody in heaven are rejoicing when this victory comes. They are called to rejoice. How is the one here being destroyed, the enemy? It's by God Himself. The mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all." All its music is going to come to an end. The harps, the pipes, the trumpeters, the pipers, everybody. Those, the craftsmen, those that made all these little trinkets and things that people buy that they bowed down to worship. All of that will end. The light of a candle shall shine no more. There's no more marriage, giving in marriage, and the bridegroom and the bride. The merchants, the great men of the earth, the Scripture says in verse 23, "For by thy sorcerers were all nations deceived." By your witchcraft, by your devil worship, by your following after. And today, oh, you just look at the young people today and all the tattoos that they have today, all the music that they listen to today. You know, used to be in our day, a little bit past our day, we didn't have the boom boxes in our day. I had a little transistor radio. They'd put them on their shoulder, and they'd have that thing turned on. They'd be walking down the street, you know, just blaring right into their ear. Well, they say today that the little iPods and all this stuff is worse because the volume, and it's with the plugs. And music. They've got this music, and please, I beg you, don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. Don't even see what it's all about. Don't listen to it. It is filth. Filth. And that's what our young people are listening to. No wonder they're so wicked. No wonder. You can go back to Jeremiah chapter 51, and you can find a story very similar to this as Jeremiah prophesies the destruction of Babylon. It covers almost everything here except for one little change, and then he speaks of the Medes and Persians because he's talking about a different time. But God back 700 years ago showed Jeremiah, I think, what was going to happen in the end times. All music, all industry, all will go away. Let's look at verse 24 and then we'll close. "And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and all that were slain upon the earth." God has a perfect accounting. And there's nothing more precious to Him than the blood of saints and of prophets and of teachers that's died for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing more precious to us than the blood of Jesus. But there's nothing more precious to Jesus than this blood. And when this blood was shed, He accounted for every drop. Just like I believe He accounted for every drop that was spilled from His body, and He took it home and gave it to His Father, says, "Here, I've paid the price. Just come by faith. That's all you need to do." But here, as those are martyred, and millions have been martyred for the gospel's sake and will be during this period of time, every drop of that blood will be held accountable against these and judgment. The wrath of God, the cup is full. And when it begins, when it's fully filled, it will pour out. It will pour out upon all those that stand against the righteousness of God. What a day to be on this earth. None of us need to be there. You don't need to face this. Nobody you know needs to face this if they'll just come by faith to Jesus and trust in Him today. Trust in Him today. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank You today that we can come. Look to Your precious Word. Ask for Your guidance and direction, strength. Please, dear Father, it is a privilege to open Your Word, to hear Your Word. What an awful time it's going to be. But when we're in Your presence, we will be rejoicing over this final judgment. Wickedness will finally be put down. Touch every heart today, please, dear Lord. Bring salvation into the heart of the lost. Your precious Spirit, just please, just knock on that heart's door and stay there till they open that door. And I plead, Father, that they will open that door today. And then, once saved, and for the rest that are saved, let's look at those seven categories. And let's really take a look to see what's the most important. And I'm afraid most of our lists will have some changes, hopefully, in the near future. Touch our hearts now, dear Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.